This is going to be broadcast.
Is it on Facebook?
We'll call order the special session of Sullivan Town Council, Tuesday, February 1st, 2022, at 5:31. Roll call, please.
Brad Amos.
Present.
Matt Zernicki.
Present.
Randy Mobley.
Present.
Terry Langford.
Present.
Scott McVoy.
Present.
And Mr. McVoy is present electronically. Jacob Elder is absent.
Present.
He's electronic too.
He's electronically as well.
Oh, okay. Charlie Smith, Town Manager.
Present.
And Michelle Miller, Clerk Treasurer, is present.
Let's say it on sheet with us. Please, go ahead and prepare. Call about the place where this is.
Father God, we just want to thank you for our town, and thank you for our residents here. And Lord, we just ask your blessing and your presence here, and just guide us in all that we do. And Lord, just let us remember always that you love us because, not because we're great, but because you're great. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Amen. To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, before we get to our public agenda items, we have an ordinance that we need to take care of. It's ordinance number 2022-R-011. It's an ordinance establishing a written policy regarding the town council members participating in a meeting by electronic means of communication. States in here, now therefore be ordained by this town council of Sullivan, Indiana, the following title. This ordinance shall be known as Policy of Participation by Town Board Members by Electronic Means for the Town of Sullivan, Indiana. Authority pursuant to Indiana Code 5-14-1.5, this council hereby establishes electronic participation policy. Policy attendance by electronic means, town council members are permitted to participate in no more than four public meetings per year by an approved electronic means of communication. A member may attend two consecutive meetings by electronic communication. A member shall physically attend at least one meeting, being sets of meetings that the member attends by electronic communication unless the absence is due to military service, illness, or other medical condition, death of a relative, or an emergency involving actual or threatening injury to the persons or property. Notice, except for emergency situations, members shall provide notice to the town manager, executive secretary, within 72 hours of a public meeting that the member will be participating by electronic means. Require physical attendance, there shall be at least three members physically present at the public meeting wherein any member is participating by electronic means voting. All votes taken during the meeting wherein as a member is participating by electronic means shall be taken by roll call. Issues prohibited to participate through electronic means. A member may not participate in a meeting by electronic communication if the governing body is attempting to take final action to adopt a budget, make a reduction in personnel, implement a referendum, establish or increase a fee, establish or increase a penalty, use the governing body intimate domain authority, or establish raise or renew a tax. Effect, this ordinance shall be in full force and effect upon its passage and prolongation as evident by the affirmative signatures of this undersigned and the majority of duly elected serving members of this council. So with that said, I ask for a motion for approval of this ordinance.
So moved.
A motion by Matt, do I have a second? Second by Randy, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay.
We got to do a roll call.
Roll call, oh, Brad.
Brad Amos.
Yes.
Scott McVoy.
Yes.
Terry Langford.
Yes.
Randy Mobley.
Yes.
And Matt Zernicki.
Yes.
Motion approved.
Okay.
Waive the reading of a second meeting.
And a motion to waive by Terry, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Matt, we got to do the roll call thing again, I'm sorry.
Amos.
Yes.
McVoy.
Langford?
Yes.
Mobley?
Yes.
And Zarnicki?
Yes.
Motion approved.
With that said, then I ask for a motion to approve ordinance number 2022-OR-001.
So moved.
Second by Randy. All right, all in favor, Michelle?
Amos?
Yes.
McVoy?
Aye.
Langford?
Aye.
Mobley?
Yes.
Zarnicki?
Yes.
Approved, thank you. All right, now, does anybody have any comments for the public? And I have two, I have Mr. Billy Ranser, who is the township trustee. Billy, would you like to add anything to say before we start our new business?
Can I speak after?
That's fine.
Sure.
Levi, David, would you like to go on ahead and speak?
Yeah, I was just going to say, because I had a really good...
I know we know you a little bit, but let's see, Levi, David, 423 North Indiana Avenue. Go on ahead, I got you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I had a great conversation with Councilmember Mobley about the gate at Atkins, and I'm kind of the opinion that if you're going to keep the gate closed at Dryer Estates, you might as well keep the gate closed at Atkins. I don't think there's much of a point to picking and choosing unless somebody else has some information that I don't regarding it. So yeah, basically, my say is just, my personal say is either keep them both closed or keep them both open, there's not much point to choosing one over the other.
Brad, I'd like to respond to Levi. Levi, there are some differences where that gate's concerned, especially with traffic as far as Little League, and that's kind of why we're here for this vote. The gate at Dryer Estates, usually that traffic is less, and it's less traffic at a lesser time interval where the traffic at Atkins Court involves a lot more people, and it, since we've taken on Little League over the years, and I had that contingency early on, that if one's going to be closed, or both are going to be closed, but there are some differences that we need to compromise on, but I think you'll gather some information tonight that might help you. So I just wanted to add that to you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, as I stated earlier, our unfinished business is our Atkins Court connection to the Silver Creek Township Park. I know this has been a discussion that has started back in May of 2021. It was a concern to many of the local residents, it was brought to the attention to the district councilman Mobley. Everyone kind of got their minds and started thinking and talking with each other how we needed to solve the concerns and the safety concerns that was brought to our attention. And so I know Randy kind of started a little bit on all this and everything, so I know Scott, our vice president, McVoy, has been a big asset to the Little League and the football programs throughout the last probably 7 or 8 years. And I know he had a lot of concerns probably prior, even before some of this even took place, but I know he took kind of ramrodded it a little bit. I know that over the last 72 hours or so, I think everyone has gotten together. There's some support between the residents, there's some support between the Little League, and there's some support between our township trustee. So I know everybody kind of was expecting a little bit more of a crowd tonight, so I'm glad to see that everyone was able to get together and come up with a solution for the time being. And so with that, I don't know, Scott, if you wanted to take a different approach or have some other things to say, I'll let you go on ahead and take it from there.
Well, thank you, Brad. I appreciate everyone showing up and making contingency plan for me to attend. I feel it's important for me to weigh in on this measure. The Township Park, first of all, I like to deal with facts on Township Park is not controlled by the town of Selvyburg. And there's a lot of people that don't know that or realize that information. Number two, this council is duly elected to protect the residents, provide a quality of life for those residents. I heard the dryer stage was mentioned earlier, and I posed a question way back when, back in May of 21, is what if this traffic situation or quality of life situation was occurring in my district in Covered Bridge? Would we treat the people in Covered Bridge or Autumn Ridge or Sterling Oaks or any other subdivision throughout the town any differently and provide public safety, quality of life, and situations like that? The town responded last year, and I believe we directed Chief Whalen to put a three-way stop, which was approved by council, in the hopes that it would alleviate some of the, and that did not. So these conversations started back in May of 21. And those conversations are documented via email. Here we are at the last minute in January trying to find a solution. And I would applaud the residents of Atkins Court who yet again compromised. Their quality of life is affected. There's no question of that whatsoever. and yet again, here they are making a concession to allow the Little League to have its normal flow of traffic. And I sit here and I applaud those residents because they're going to have to go through another year of having a higher volume of traffic, which is documented. There's no question to that either. But I also applaud the Little League and Mr. Livers. Mr. Livers and I have most definitely had our differences, which has been brought up in the last couple of weeks, which I will tell anybody right here, right now, I don't agree with everything that Brett says. But what I do agree with is he spends his time to donate and volunteer and take care of kids in this community. And I respect that. Absolutely, 100%. Anybody that puts time into kids today and our youth, whether they're town of Selvyburg residents or not, should be commended. And Brett's been put in a tough situation in the middle, and he has worked with us to diligently find, through scheduling purposes or scheduling issues, to spread that out to lessen the impact for those residents on Atkins Court. So yes, that is documented. If anybody was to say that I disagree with Brett Livers on many things, that would be true. Over the last 10 years, I've been invested in that park. I've donated my own money and funds and time to that park. That's documented as well. So I do have a vested interest, even though it's not my district. So I'm not here to discuss the management of the park. That is up to the town trustee. Nor the finances of the park, which is public record. Everybody wants to see what those records are. The 2021 hasn't been updated like most township reports, but everything else is there for the general public to see. And I would encourage those residents to look at that information. And if they have problems or issues or concerns or questions, then they should reach out to the royal elected officials just like they do with us in the town of Selvyburg, which is their right, and I encourage that. We have a successful youth program in this town, and that bleeds into our high school. And it's not just sports, it's other areas too. And this council has been committed to fostering those children and making sure that we provide them the necessary options to be successful. I will continue to do that. I am not a no person. We have brought different solutions over the course of the last 9 months, which not a lot of people know about. But the fact of the matter is we have done that. And we have been consistently told no. And that I'm disappointed in. I thought that we could come to a solution. We have, thanks to those residents on Atkins Court, and thanks to the Little League for adjusting their schedule to help us meet the needs of the kids, because no one wants to see that Little League go anywhere. I support that Little League. Whether I have kids in or not, I'll continue to fund it. I'll continue to put money into that Little League. I know Councilman Amos has. I know Councilman Langford, Zarnecki, Mobley. played in that Little League and have supported it in one way or another, and they will continue to do so. So the goal is not to drive anyone away. And I hope that wasn't, hasn't been misconstrued via social media or any other media outlet. So I wish I could be there in person. I'm on training assignment and I'm 600 miles away. But my feelings and passion for the youth of this community will never change, will never be considered less than the effort that I put into anything else that I do. And I feel the same way for the rest of the council members that I sit with and serve with, that we value everyone's opinion. I wish that this wouldn't have had to come to a special meeting and cooler heads would have prevailed and a solution would have been provided a lot earlier, so we wouldn't be here at the last minute doing this. But we do have a solution. I want to thank Mr. Smith, Charlie, for all his work and effort in this. As far as trying to reach out and bring people together, and Councilman Mobley is directly affected by his district. But you know, I'm not here to point fingers or place blame. I think there's been enough of that. I think we're here for the community. I think we're here for these kids, even our regular taxpayers and the elderly. And this continues with this council. To move forward and push forward and do what's best for this community. And we owe the residents on Atkins Court, just like any other neighborhood in this town, the peace, the safety, and the quality of life that they deserve. And if we can find solutions to continue to foster the Little League or work with the community park, which we have no control over, I will continue to do that. The only thing that I ask for the future is that we have willing participants who want to come to the table to find solutions and not be told no every time we cross a bridge or come to another corner. I think as elected officials, it is our duty, not our job, it is our duty to make sure that we ensure those things for our community. And that's, I don't want to be too long-winded, but I'm very, very passionate about the Little League and the youth in this community. I like to find solutions. I want to give them the best of everything. I want them to have the best fields to play on. I'm sure Mr. Ranger would probably remember a meeting that I had with him 4 or 5 or 6 years ago, where I sat in his office late one night with Mr. Livers with all these great ideas about how we can make that park what it should be. and I hope that comes true one day. And I'll definitely support that. I think the town would, that the park directly affects the town. As far as the green space and the place for people to enjoy their off time and to foster sports and not just winning and losing, but teamwork and other things that this community is very special. It makes this community very special when we can build those relationships. And I don't want this to turn into, like I said, a finger pointing session, but we have a responsibility to make sure we take care of the taxpaying residents in this community. So this is my statement as far as I'm concerned. I know that there's an end date at the end of the Little League season on June the 11th, where that gate will be closed. And that concessions that the people in Atkins Court at some point need to have some closure and some finality for their properties, for their children, and their quality of life. And then the result of that will hopefully the town trustee will continue to work with Mr. Smith and the town council to find a long-term solution, which, as a fact, this town was willing to commit some money and finances to help ensure that there was a safe solution for the park. All that being said, I want to thank everyone that attended tonight. I'd like to thank the council, Mr. Ramser, for coming to the meeting, as well as Mr. Livers. And again, I hope we can continue to work forward because I can't believe we're sitting here, I'm sorry, on February the 1st, and we're just now coming to a resolution. And that is a reflection on lack of communication, lack of participation, and lack of trying to find a solution for our youth and our community. And that reflects upon all of us, not just one person. That's all I have to say about the matter.
Thank you very much,
Scott.
All right. I think we probably will get into the thing. After listening to that explanation, like I said, I know both Randy and and Terry both here sit in with some meetings and everything, but I think that after, I don't know if y'all have some things you want to say, or you want Billy to go on ahead and make his comments.
Well, I think my, I guess my statement would be that we need to inform everyone here of the actions that we've all taken and the efforts that we've all put forth. We just didn't go out and close the gate because we had a bad feeling about Little League. We had a reason to close the gate, and it was public safety on Atkins Court. And it may be redundant, you may not need to hear that again, but that's the only reason we closed it. Secondly, there was lots of effort on Mr. Ranger's part, Town Board, Charlie Smith, and, you know, I have to give props to Brett. Brett, going forward, is very involved in the daily operation of the gate, closing the gate, opening the gate. So I feel like as officials and as town residents, and, you know, I don't want to leave out the people at Atkins Court, just like Scott said, you know, everybody is kind of giving a piece here, and we really work together as a community to, Little League's going to happen, Atkins Court is going to be conditionally safer, and the town board is, you know, we're here, and as Scott said, public safety is the number one thing. We have to have that first. Terry has said this over and over, Councilman Langford, that, you know, we're 50-50 with town trustee. We can find another way in there outside of Atkins Court. We're in with you. So I was really apprehensive last night. We had a special work session in the town hall over here, and it, you know, these 10-minute meetings take 2 hours. And, you know, everybody has their say, but we were all able to come to a resolution. You know, I'm not in Billy's skin. I don't know what he goes through on a day-to-day basis. I don't know where he's at. I just know where the town is and what we have our obligations and duties. He has his. So everybody has an agenda, but everybody had to shave their agenda down and make some concessions. And it was a really productive meeting, and I was just, I was proud to be in that room. I think we all did a good work, and hey, I tell you what, it was earning your money in the last 6 weeks. We've been deep into it, so I just want to say that we have a timeline. I don't know if it's necessary that we read it. You know, I don't want to say he said, she said, whatever.
I need to, for you all officially take action, you all need to note it in the minutes, and then basically motion, second, and vote on that schedule.
Yeah. So is within this brief here, is that in there?
Yeah.
Back page. Bear with me just a minute here. Gated Atkins Court shall be open March 5th from 8 a.m. To noon. Okay, March 5th from 8 a.m. till noon. Beginning the week of March 7th through June 11th, the gate shall be open from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Little League shall communicate the following to its participating families: the hours of gate opening to all families, as well as indicating that Atkins Court is resident parking only. Visitors of the park using Atkins Court will be told at the owner's expense. The Little League shall place a traffic monitor at the intersection of Atkins Court to assist with traffic flow and to help communicate the residents only parking rule. The gate shall be open in conjunction with the Salisbury Celebrates event at the discretion of the town of Salisbury's chief of police. This agreement is a result of compassion, understanding, and compromise from the Little League leadership and Atkins Court residents on behalf of the families of this community who enjoy what Silver Creek Little League and softball has to offer. Again, this provisional compromise will be effective only for the 2022 season, while not the responsibility, of the council to manage the township park, but the township's trustees. It's the council's responsibility to represent those residents on Atkins Court who've been impacted by not being able to access their properties. It is the responsibility of the township trustee to improve and better manage the internal traffic flow within the township park so users might effectively access all facilities within the park. We hope he is able and willing to find that solution and still commit to potentially assist with funding to do so in the interest of partnership for the benefit of the town residents who use the park. Doing so will result in a better community park while directly addressing the negative issues that has impacted surrounding residents because of unplanned expansions sporadically overtaken within the park over the years. And that's our written statement, and that is our contingencies moving forward.
With that being said, then I ask for a motion to approve that reading.
So moved.
Have a motion by Matt, do I have a second?
Yes.
Second by Terry.
Scott.
Scott, all right. Voice changes a little bit. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay?
I do the roll call vote.
Get used to it.
Brad Amos.
I'm an aye, yes.
McVoy.
Aye.
Langford.
Aye.
Mobley.
Aye.
And Zarnecki.
Aye.
Motion approved.
Five over. All right, okay, Terry, do you have anything?
No, I was gonna finish up before man.
Matt?
Perfectly good.
All right, Billy, do I have to step up to the podium here?
Thank you for putting me in, by the way, so I can understand what work administration has had. Billy Ranger, Silver Creek Township trustee, 1605 West State Hill Road, Salisbury, Indiana. This has been an educational event for me. Sometimes we leave the meetings, no, let me rephrase that, every time we leave the meetings, everybody's not happy. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. Sometimes when I leave, I like the ideas. Sometimes when the work group leaves, they like the ideas. We haven't found a happy medium. I think it's out there. We ran into a timeframe issue. To where the construction could be done in a timely manner to open the gate. That was the first restriction we ran into. After that, we ran into just a time issue of what we're going to do. I appreciate you all taking into consideration Silver Creek Little League. They're a tremendous asset to the community. I appreciate everything Brett does. Kind of like Scott was saying, when me and Brett first got together, We had our complications. What that comes from is enthusiasm. He was he was enthused for Silver Creek Little League. He hit the ground running 100 miles an hour, not knowing what was going on, but I can tell you we have worked a great relationship out. Brett does a tremendous amount of stuff for Silver Creek Little League, for the community, for the swim team. Brett's a very busy individual. I think there's an opportunity for us to fulfill both needs. I think it's out there. I think we just have to come up with something as a team on where we enter, how it happens, funding, and meeting both people's needs. I appreciate everybody meeting all the time we've met because we have met a tremendous amount of times. Some of the ideas I didn't like. Some of the ideas you all didn't like. And it is very personal to me. I take a tremendous amount of personal responsibility and love for the park. The park is for love. The park is for the kids. When Little League shows up and the kids show up, it's crowded and there's a tremendous amount of issues. But that's why I'm there. I love the park. I love the kids to be at the park. I look forward to working with everybody on the work group, anybody else that wants to attend. I know we have an issue with how many attend, whether it's a open session or all the legalities we have to go to. And I appreciate you all supporting Little League till we get through this. I think we can get through it financially, safety, the whole deal. I think we can adequately fulfill our needs. So we'll work, I would love to work forward in the future. I'll get with Randy, we'll try to set a meeting up, not so close together, so we don't meet twice a week. And I don't know if there's anybody out there that's a traffic guru that you all know, that we can have sit into the meetings. But I think there's some opportunities that we can get together on, and I look forward to it, and I appreciate you all taking Silver Creek Little League into consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Billy.
Let's kind of keep in mind, I mean, there's no reason why we wouldn't, I mean, not try to retaliate at all, Billy, no hard puns. But, you know, we got 96% of our kids are residents, kids that are involved in Silver Creek Little League. So, you know, it is a thing. I played in the Little League as well myself, so I understand that feeling as well. I think our big solution is just to come up with, we have an engineering, a town engineer, that I know that will be more than happy to be supportive in this matter. You know, like I said, it's very obvious that that our town manager, our police chief, wants to continue to show their support and their ability of their knowledge and their desires as well. So, I mean, I think once again, I think this discussion needs to start, you know, sooner than later, and this discussion needs to stay firm on what the challenges are going to be there. So people maybe that are at the Little League here between March the 7th to June the 11th start seeing a little bit of construction work or something like that maybe. So so they understand what they're going to be up against next season. So once again, I don't know if anybody else has anything else to say or anything else to address, but you do?
Yeah, Brad, I just want to, before we end our meeting, I want to thank some people that donated their time in the evening. Charlie, very, very much involved, you know, just trying to find answers. You know, he's another, you know, he's here all the time. You know, we're kind of part-time guys. Charlie, I want to thank him personally for doing what he does. Chief, going to be involved moving forward. You know, these guys are full-time, they're the real deal. I'd like to thank Brett stepped up. He's going to be doing a lot. In addition to what he was doing, he's also responsible for that gate on the opening and closure of it. I'd like to thank Terry. Terry's been there every step of the way. I'd like to thank the citizens on Atkins Court for, you know, it, not making this a one-way street, you know, so to speak, that being kind of compliant with what we need right now. We needed them. Nathan Gibson was there. He was, his input was vital. And just want to, just, I'm proud to be a part of a solution. Proud to be part, and you know, our motto is kind of Team Sellersburg. That doesn't mean team town council, that means Team Sellersburg. We're all citizens here, and everybody, you know, we want to hear everybody, and everybody has an input. Do I always agree with what everybody says? Well, the answer is no, but I respect it. So I'm just real proud that we came up with something. Do we need a permanent solution going forward? Absolutely. And but I just want to thank you guys. And Billy, if I left you out, I didn't mean to. But thanks for everything.
Not offended, thank you.
Each day. All right. That's all I have, Brad.
I guess I'm chopped liver.
No, hold on, man. I'm coming to you. Just hold on a second. McBoy, you got anything to say?
For once, no.
I think it's all good too.
All right, well, like I said, you know, it's obvious that we're always here to work together with everybody. If people look back in the last 2 years since we've been on this council, how we've worked with different organizations, NDOT, for example, you know, they fixed this road out at least, I mean, they at least got bumps out of it, so, and it was because of our determination and our town manager's determination to make it happen. We've got a lot of new roads coming in. I think the one thing that everybody has to keep in mind, lastly, before we end our session today, just remember, Atkins Court area was built in the late '40s, early '50s. And, you know, a lot of people probably had no vision there was ever going to be a park or anything like that of such sort. But, you know, the roads, you know, were designed for smaller cars. Most households only had one vehicle, where a lot of these driveways, you know, are a single road into the garage, if they have a garage. So, like I said, I really appreciate everyone coming together, showing what it takes, like teamwork, same kind of teamwork that we have sitting here in these seats and on video here today. So, but like I said, I really appreciate everybody coming here and showing their support and helping us get through this situation. Charlie, do you have anything you need to say?
I have some other business I'm related to this.
Okay, all right. Cheryl, do you have anything to say right now?
No.
All right, with that said, I ask for a motion to adjourn.
I guess one.
Huh?
So this is not related to this conversation, but obviously we have a potential weather event coming through this week that we've been monitoring pretty heavily. Our plan is we'll be running 10-hour shifts in accordance with CDL limitations on rest time in between. This could be a whole lot of nothing. This could be a pretty significant icing event, which you remember in the past, you know, those things are not beautiful. Russ and I have had some conversations about response from an emergency standpoint. I do have a special request from the council to consider. So when this thing is coming in, right now at the last report, they were looking somewhere between probably 4 to 7 a.m. This would start
Thursday morning, correct?
Correct. And running basically all day long.
Until Friday morning.
So again, we're you know, I think the last projection we're talking about potentially up to 1 inch of ice, not counting any snow on the back end of this thing. So obviously, I want to have our response crews in place, our snow warriors, you know, do a good job. Ice is a little bit of a different scenario. We do a pretty decent job compared to some of the other communities maintaining and keeping up with storm events. We've got about 43 miles of roads that we try to treat and maintain. So with that, split up the crews into two shifts, but I'm going to go to one of these local hotels or something to see if they would donate rooms for my staff for this emergency. So we have guys here in town to prevent them, A, from being on the road, travel back and forth in between shifts. You know, not to mention if this thing gets going, you know, they're stuck at home. You can't get here, and then we're in a world of hurt because we, you know, we're running longer shifts, which is obviously in my opinion dangerous. I don't want guys in a truck for 12 to 15 hours at a time respond to this in this situation. So again, if I'm unable to get those concessions made, I would ask the council for this storm event provision, maybe getting three rooms to put up some of these guys in town so that they're not, A, out on the road or traveling or doing something or other. And I've got the response teams that I need in place.
I'll make that motion to approve three rooms.
Now, if you got to pay for them, if you don't get them, we're approving that.
Correct.
Yes.
All right.
Again, I look at getting cots or something to keep in here. I mean, look at, you know, get a decent cot, you know, for, you know, $68 or something, and then you end up getting six of them. I mean, you might as well just make sure not have silver. So, I mean, I think.
Well, Charlie.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do go the cot unless it was an extreme emergency. They need to get proper rest and proper warmth and shower. Meals during their break times is allowed by the CDL, so I'd be full support of going to a local hotel and getting the government rate and making sure that those guys that allow us to keep moving move themselves. But they do need to have proper conditions to get some rest and get some sleep.
Okay. So are you second in?
Hang on just a
minute. We'll make a discussion.
Oh, okay.
You go second in, Scott?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Discussion. I was just going to ask Charlie as far as citizens or volunteers that step up that have accredited license, do we have a policy for that? We don't?
We don't. And I don't think we even have a rider or anything like that on our insurance policies from liability standpoint. So, you know, we'll be prepped with chainsaws and such, and if we have issues with trees and limbs crossing the roadway, basically we'll cut them and move them out of the road off to the side, and we'll circle back and clean up once the event happens. Again, this may change. Obviously, it's, again, it's, you know, the Ohio Valley, you don't like the weather, wait till tomorrow, it's going to change. So, you know, obviously, we've been keeping an eye on this, as every other community has, and, you know, this may not even be necessary, but in the event, and, you know, the worst-case scenario that it is, and it does turn out to be a major icing event, you know, I want to make sure that we are prepared for an emergency response standpoint.
And that's calls to pop tomorrow.
So, yeah, we have a conference call two tomorrow with the National Weather Service for updates.
All right, so with that, Michelle?
Brad Amos?
Yes.
McVoy?
Yes.
Langford?
Yes.
Mobley?
Yes.
And Zarnecki?
Yes.
Motion approved.
Thank you. All right, that said, I ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A motion by Matt, second by
Terry.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Roll call.
Amos? McVoy?
Yes.
Langford?
Yes.
Mobley?
Yes.
Zarnecki?
Yes.
Motion approved.
6:13.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Is that something?
Your line.